Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, got a chance to meet the Bucks' new offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen. Very, energetic. Not like a Dave Canales quite as much. Like, he didn't walk in and tell us it was first and 10 like Dave would. Or, how's it going? But, you know, a young guy and likable, very likable, said the right things. You know, he won the press conference, and if you care about that at home. He's 38. You know, Canales is actually older. And unlike Canales, he's called plays. And he did that last year at the University of Kentucky, which he says is why he left the Los Angeles Rams. But if you needed any confirmation, and we've been saying this now, really since I kind of broke the story on Cohen interviewing, he was the last guy to interview, but that was for a reason. You know, he told us that they were on to him pretty early in the process, and they interviewed a lot of guys, you know, several of which, not accidentally, had some close ties to Baker Mayfield, especially when he was with the Rams. You know, Alex Van Pelt obviously was his coordinator with the Cleveland Browns. He wound up going to the Patriots. But they didn't want to bring Cohen in here, and then the word gets out, and now if he doesn't get the job, the people at Kentucky are all upset, and oh boy, yes, they are upset. Because this is the second time that he's, you know, been the runaway bride for the Wildcats. And so he did come down, and he gets the job, and without any hesitation, confirms the obvious when I asked him about Baker Mayfield. And, you know, everyone's being pretty upfront about it right now. And I thought Cohen was extremely succinct when he goes, he's obviously the reason that I'm here. That's real. Like, you know how many guys go, yep, that's real. Yep, got me. That's it. He said, but at the end of the day, this is going to be collaborative. I think he wants to be here, but we know we've got a long way to go, and I want him here. He's going to be there. He's going to be there. In fact, he was there, when I say there, at the facility, at the Advent Health Training Center, for Cohen's press conference. Wasn't in the press conference, but he met Cohen outside in the breezeway. So he drove in, came walking up. Good to see at least his key pass works still. That's a positive sign.
Well, he's not a free agent yet. I mean,
not yet, but I mean, he's not. Yeah, the new league year has not begun. So, I mean,
does his email still work, or do they get that in the NFL?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, they let him in the building or let him in the parking lot. I don't know. Maybe he talked his way in the parking lot, but he came.
You know, the security guys, they'll let you in.
Well, the thing about the security guys is nothing against them because they're nice guys, but there's a couple that it's Groundhog Day. Seriously, like Sonny and Cher's on the radio and I'm driving through and they're like, and you are, and I'm like, here every day. that's who I am. Stroud. Yeah, Stroud, Tampa Bay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Same guy, same routine. It's amazing, man. But even have a little badge that says my name with my picture on it, oddly enough. But so Mayfield comes bounding up, and actually the Bucks did a good job of putting some of this on social media, which is kind of a bro hug, you know, with your back outward, and then, you know, sort of, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. How you doing? Boy, that was really something last year, and blah, blah, blah. And then it was over. But we got to spend some time with Cohen, and I like him, you know, seems like a decent enough guy. I don't know how smart he is. He's got a football background, gym rat, you know, grandfather, father, coaches, football coaches. And he was a college quarterback. So all he wanted to do, he says, is play in the NFL. That didn't work out. And then he said, all I wanted to do was coach in the NFL. Like, this is kind of where I want to be. But he kept going back and forth between the Rams, Kentucky, and, you know, now Tampa Bay. So I'll take him at his word, but you can tell he has a very much an affinity for Baker, who came into the Rams a year ago, fresh off waivers, had 2 days to prepare for a game against the Raiders out there. Didn't start the game, then went in really, really quickly thereafter, and it was dramatic and as much fun as you can see anybody have on a football field. And that's what Baker brought to the Rams, who are having a terrible year. Not this past year, the year before that, 2022. And Baker kind of lifened things up, and they rediscovered sort of their love for football. So they had a familiarity. They've seen what he was able to do. And I think Cohen is genuinely excited about not just being in the NFL again, like been there, done that, right? But he said with the Rams, even though he was given the title of offensive coordinator, he never had the responsibility or the ability to call plays. And so that's why he went back to Kentucky, because he wanted to be that play caller. And so now he's got that experience, and now he can go back and try to fulfill his dream of being in the NFL, which is, he says, really all he wanted to do. But I've got some thoughts. I haven't written about this, so maybe I should keep it to myself for a while. But, you know, it's interesting. I got to thinking, Steve, like, if you're Cohen, right, and you're going to risk losing your job at Kentucky, which you like, by the way, because you have a chance to call plays. You're in the SEC. First year, last year, they did pretty well. But if you're that guy and you're going to take the risk of coming down here where somebody could see you, right, and you interview for that job, of course, the first question every interview in that building had to ask was, where are we at with Mayfield? You know, who's my quarterback, you know? They had to ask. You have to ask that question. You can't take that interview without saying, "Yeah, Baker's great. Yeah, did really well the next year. Is he out of here? Did we lose him?" And I don't. You know, the Bucs can answer in any number of ways, including, "Well, we hope to sign him. He says he wants to be here. We want him here." Those are all great signs, right? They are, but they're just words. And so until you have a signed contract, I need to know, especially if I'm Cohen and I can stay at Kentucky, I need to know who's my quarterback, man. Am I coaching Trask? You know, are we gonna, if we lose Baker, is that who I'm coming here for? And that leads me to believe that the only way you could sort of guarantee, oh no, he's not going anywhere. And he may not, on his own volition. He may just decide, hey, let's work something out. I want to stay here. You know, 3 years, whatever you're gonna guarantee. You know, $35 million a year, whatever it is. That's fine. But short of that, all you can do is use the franchise tag. Like, you could say to any coach right now, oh, Baker Mayfield's going to be our quarterback. How do you know that? Because if we can't reach an agreement, we'll just franchise him. That's the only way. And I know that there's other players like, you know, Antoine Winfield Jr., for example, that is a huge priority. But with Antoine, I think it's easier in this sense. You know, he can come and say, hey, I'm the second best safety or the best safety, one of two, in the National Football League, and I have an all-pro to prove it. So I got to be at least the second highest paid safety in football. Done, right? Happy to do it. Where would you like the contract at? So I think you can still get a long-term deal with him without. Now, would there be some anxious moments? Yeah, if he wanted to jump ship, there would be. But that's when you got to kind of know your client, right? Or at least his agent does. And you say, hey, we're going to use a franchise tag on another player. Is your guy going to bolt and take it as an insult? And the answer is going to be no. He'll know what they're trying to do. But, again, they both want to be here. Obviously, Baker wants to be here. The Bucs want him back. Usually that means the stuff will happen. But it hasn't yet. And at least as of Friday, there hadn't been any real meaningful discussions. So how do you ensure that Baker's back? And he did come back. Like we mentioned, he got through the guard gate and, you know, shook hands and all that. We didn't see him in the press conference. I didn't see any players there. They're doing some construction over there at One Buck, too. So it's kind of all messed up. You know, Todd Bowles has his guy. And in many ways, or in some ways, he's got kind of a better resume than Canales. I mean, Canales spent all his career under Pete Carroll, which is no strike against you, right? But all those years, and they passed over him with so many offense coordinators, including Shane Waldron, who came from the Rams. And, you know, he came here and knocked it out of the park, and good for him. He's the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. But, man, oh, man, like, at least this guy has called plays. You know, like, he's not a first-time out-of-the-box dude. Because I thought many times Canales, especially during that streak, was just out-coached. You know, those guys on the other sideline are really, really good. And they can make you look like a college coach sometimes. So in many ways, I think, you know, they've got a guy who's got a little more experience, a lot more experience, actually. And he said something else, too, that he's going to do that I think is smart. And I'm kind of calling for this, is Chris Godwin's going back inside. He's not going to play out on the boundary anymore. Like, that thing was kind of to preserve his health, and I guess it did in as much as he finished the season. And he had over 1,000 yards, so I'm not minimizing his contribution here, but that's not his position. And if it means he plays one more year because he's going to get beat up, oh, well, you chose the profession. Like, that's kind of where the football's at these days, you know? It just is. And so, yeah, I reserve the right to see, you know, that they're wrong, but I think Florio said something smart the other day. I was listening to him on one of the shows, Mike Florio, and he said, what are the odds that the Bucs are, you know, backed up against the wall, find Dave Canales, who kind of struggles and goes through, you know, losing 6 out of 7, whatever, that he finds his rhythm as a play caller and the team excels and it goes as far as they did, and it's so good that he gets a head coaching job. Now, what are the chances you find another guy that's even just successful? You know, because this league is full of percentages where, yeah, half these guys don't hit it out of the park the first time. You know, so it could be, though, that maybe they're going to be 2 for 2. You know, he's got a lot of the same principles, a lot of the same language.
Well, I think to go 2 for 2, Baker's got to be back.
He has to be, because unless you're going to do something amazing with Kyle Trask, we don't think it's possible. At least I don't, you know.
When I think if Kyle was the guy, we'd have seen him by now.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing you mentioned was when he was out in L.A., they had like 4 quarterbacks that terrible year, and one of them was John Wolford, and he's here. So, you know, there's a lot of familiar faces, and I know Baker's happy. You can see it and smile on his face when he greets him. You know, if you go on the Buccaneers website or Twitter or whatever, you'll see that video. It's pretty cool. And I do. In many ways, like, I knew nothing about Canales, right? And frankly, I probably knew even less about this guy. But at least when you look at his resume, you go, okay, he's done it. He's been in the arena. He knows what that is. Now, it's college football versus pros. But he said that's why he left, was he wanted to be the guy that was being accountable. He wanted to be that guy who, you know, had to make those decisions and play calls. And so he was willing to, you know, to leave his dream job, I guess, with the Rams. And, of course, he learned a lot from Sean McVay. He's coached with guys that have been very, very good. You know, I like him. Let's see if he can get Baker, because that's the whole key to everything, you know. Hell, they may take Mo. They wouldn't take me. But they'd take a lot of people if they could be assured that Baker is back, and I think one of the ways to do that is to franchise him, but they probably won't. The other thing I was going to mention, I think it did. Chris Godwin back in the slot. We've been talking about that. It has to happen. And then Rashad White, I think you got to commit to using him as a receiver as much as you do as a rusher. I think his value is in total yards, not rushing yards, although he came within, what, like 10 or so of 1,000. You know, had well over 1,500 yards total last year. He's an awfully good player that they can get more out of, you know. Likes the offensive line, you know, thinks a lot of the calls will be similar. Shouldn't be a big learning curve, you know. So, heck, the Bucs may well have made a nice save, and you're going to have to do that with defensive head coaches. You're going to be losing guys if you're successful. But he made a nice save with this guy. And then it's up to him to prove to us that he does know what he's doing. He can call plays, and he can score points and make them better in areas that they haven't been good at, like rushing the football. which I think they absolutely have to do. All right, it wasn't just the offensive coordinator that the Bucs were busy hiring. They have also begun the process of hiring an offensive line coach. We'll tell you about who that is in just a second. But first, for the past 14 years, you know the skilled pros of May Electric Solar have been installing solar energy systems in Florida. They provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods and service while helping homeowners cut energy costs with an environmentally friendly investment. Now, May Electric Solar uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors, and they've always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Well, now May Electric Solar offers a 30-year no-cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That means for 30 years, May Electric Solar is backed by Solar Insure. That means your roof, electrical, and equipment replacement is covered. Solar Insure even survives May Electric Solar. It's owned by the homeowner with no deductibles or additional fees. Now, the policy will transfer to new homeowners with no fee. It's not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors are allowed to be part of its program. May Electric Solar's reputation and history of workmanship has earned them this membership. To learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and their 30-year warranty, call 727-819-2862 or visit mayelectricsolar.com. So it didn't stop with Liam Cohen when it comes to finding guys that have connections to Baker Mayfield, or at least maybe the Los Angeles Rams in this case. This happened probably later Tuesday night. The Bucs had begun sort of contract negotiating or trying to bring it to a conclusion with a new offensive line coach. He's Kevin Carberry, and he was the assistant offensive line coach for the New Orleans Saints. But before that, the 2 years before that, he was the offensive line coach for the Los Angeles Rams. And so you see the connection, you know, obviously with the new offensive coordinator. I know nothing about this guy. It's very hard for me to kind of grade offensive line coaches until you see the job they do. Those were two sort of, 1 year was good, 1 year was not so good. When they had all the quarterbacks in Los Angeles, they didn't run the ball particularly well. They weren't last, which is good because the Bucs have been. But I know that at least Cohen must have targeted him, identified him. When he left L.A., he became an assistant, as I mentioned, offensive line coach with the Saints. And now he's back in charge, you know. And Cohen talked about it, you know, about that he's very much aware of where the Bucs have been running the football. And he said, you know, the run and the pass, you know, that marriage is so important. And, you know, you're trying to be balanced. You want to be explosive in both run and pass. And he says they take a lot of pride in it. And that, you know, they had to understand to, you know, study defenses and do more of that than to study themselves and, you know, get things like gap integrity and fits and fallbacks and things of that nature to try to break down, you know, the run game. And then I think Baker Mayfield will play a big part of that as well. But this offensive line coach, good, decent credentials, like not overwhelming, but a guy that's been around the block a couple times. So the key is he did it for the Rams. And after 1 year with the Saints, he'll be joining them. They still have to hire a wide receivers coach, perhaps a run game coordinator, if you will, to go with the O-line coach. It became kind of clear to me during my conversations after the podium with Liam that you're probably not going to have Thad Lewis back. I tend to think that, you know, when you're going for the same job and the other guy gets it, and get awkward there. I tend to think that Thad is probably on that list of guys, of, you know, people that they're interviewing at least. So I'd kind of be surprised, and I don't want to jinx him or anything or say that, you know, he doesn't deserve it, but it was noticeable by its absence, you know, just not really talking about certain people and whatnot. Yes, Todd Bowles getting it done. He's still got more hires to go. I don't know, you know, the next time we'll probably see him. We didn't see Jason Light. We'll be at the Combine in Indianapolis. We'll go all the way up there and talk to the guy that's fairly close by here. But, and then
it's kind of like Radio Row.
Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly. Hey, want to talk some Tampa guys out in Las Vegas? Here you go. They're all there. But overall, like, if you were just to say to me, and of course, a big part of this is Mike Evans too, but if you said to me, look, they got a coordinator, there's continuity on offense. This guy's actually sort of an upgrade because he's called plays before. Same sort of youth and energy, and Baker loves him, and we're going to get Baker back. Now, what about Mike Evans? Well, there should be enough money for him too. And I can't negotiate his deal. I've seen a lot of crazy things out in the media that aren't substantiated with anything. That's why I don't believe him. But, you know, is he going to get mid-20s? Is he going to get, you know, 27, 25, 26? I tend to think not. But, heck, someone's got to figure out what his market is. But if you get Mayfield and Winfield and all the Fields back and Evans and, you know, any of the other key free agents and run it back, I'd feel pretty good about that team. Just have to see what the coordinator can do. He may be better than Canales. Canales struggled like heck after those first 4 weeks. You know, they lost 6 out of 7. And many times he was just outmatched. But this guy seems, he just seems, you know, like he's just come through a year where he called plays and he learned stuff. And I like his philosophies that it's about, and Tom Moore says this all the time, it's about the players, not the plays. I love that. I love that from a coordinator. Like, don't be wedded, you know, to, God, I just can't wait to get to this play. And, you know, if it's a big down, if it's a score you need, you trust the player, you know. And as he said, a guy like Mike Evans, some of those 50-50 balls become 70-30, you know, and that's a huge difference. So Kevin Carberry, offensive line coach, they still have a bunch of hires. I like I said, I don't think that'll be back. That remains to be seen. So still some changes, but they got time to go. I mean, they got, you know, we got Super Bowl this weekend. That typically there's not a lot of hiring that goes on that weekend. They'll try to get it done either before or sometimes after. But yeah, I kind of, it's good. We finally got going. Cause last year it was February 18th before they hired Dave Canales. I mean, we were well into February. So this guy will hit the ground running a little bit quicker, and that certainly will help him.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
All right, before we get out of here, I just want to go on record as saying that, yes, sometimes we miss free throws, but yet another athlete named Stroud, this time a USF basketball player, no less, allows USF to come from way behind and beat Charlotte to remain now solely atop, right, their conference.
They're half game ahead of FAU, who's still 8-1. The Bulls are 9-1.
Gotcha.
But eight games in a row for USF.
Yeah.
That's a conference team record.
School record for
school record for conference wins in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And they led for 29 and a half seconds of this game.
That's the stat right there. That's incredible to me. And not for nothing, they didn't lead until then, but they also had about two opportunities or three opportunities were just free throws that they could have led way before that.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't knock them down. There's something going on at USF, man. And I just say what you want about the conference and, you know, who's leading it, who's in it, that, you know, the blue bloods of college basketball and all that. This is a neat story. It really is. It's a neat story for USF.
It's a tremendous story for, and Charlotte too, who lost tonight and played a whale of a game. I mean, they were predicted 13th in the conference. USF was predicted 9th. And they're tied for first halfway through the season, the conference season.
There you go.
I mean, you know, that's it's tremendous stories. But what Amir Abdur-Rahim has done at USF has been fantastic. In this game, like, they were down by 17 early.
And twice. And I think they were down twice.
Had no business being in the game. Like,
no.
Miguel was about the only one attacking. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of guys sitting around waiting.
Right.
But, man, do they come back. And they did this against Memphis. They've done it against other. Like,
well,
they don't quit. And as the announcers on television even said, as Raheem told them, we're gritty, not pretty.
I love that.
You know.
And, it's coming on a T-shirt somewhere by you today.
It should be. It should be.
Yeah. I love that. And that's kind of how they play.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little bit of a rope-a-dope. Like, it's like, you know, we're going to get down. And then now we're going to beat you. You know, it's like. And they could have won more handily, but my namesake, Stroud, missed some free throws. But he did make some big shots down the – and I love the crowd. Like, what was cool about it was – when's the last time you think that many people packed that place for a men or women's basketball game?
Oh, it's – I mean, I didn't see a number tonight, but
– I didn't either. I wonder if it was a record.
You know, I was following a lot of people on X and saying, you know, outside of a UCF game, that's a lot of they've heard that place.
That's really cool. That's probably the coolest part about all of this is that, you know, students, fans come out, you get to take a little pride in your school, and, you know, you got a good basketball team. What was it, a few years ago that FAU kind of made that run?
Mm-hmm. Well, they were in the Final Four last year.
There you go.
And
yeah, just last year. You're right.
You know, but and that's what, you know, the crowd particularly, that's what was kind of disappointing as you're watching the first half and South Florida looked out of sorts, and Charlotte was taking it to them, and you're just like, you got a big crowd, and
they lay the egg.
You know, yeah. But, I mean, they came back, and it was great. And Alex Golish was in the house, and Derek Sharp has a video on his Twitter timeline of the bucket that gave them the lead with 29.5 seconds to go. And Golish is standing up, full fist pumps.
He was
like,
in
like
it,
he
man.
Was the coach who was just, they took the lead. You know, you would see on a football sideline. I mean, he was into it.
That's the way it should be. I mean, listen, you know what? If you're Alex Golish, right, and you're building what you're building, and you know, you can't draw any fans. Like, you're imagining it too. You're going, look, this is great for USF. This is great for sports fans at USF. If they do anything and carry into the March Madness or any of that stuff, it's going to be tremendous. You know, because now you know there is a fan base out there. You just got to win, and so. Once you start winning, you know, you can tap into something. But that's, I think it's good, you know, rising tide and all that, man. It's only going to help them too in the long run. And, you know, if they somehow were to get in an NCAA tournament, that's a whole game changer there.
No question about it. And, you know, we talked about this last night. I mean, you know, Michael Kelly appears to have made two home run hires.
Tremendous.
This past year.
Yeah.
And Alex Golish and now Amir Abdur-Rahim.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll see what the future holds for both. And, you know, Alex Golish is getting ready. Spring football's close. I think the spring game they announced for April 13th.
Okay.
So, you know, we're getting close to spring practices starting there.
Yep.
And, you know, it's fun to have a college in town that's on the rise.
Yeah, you just hope they stay there in both programs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the key.
And, I mean, both have been down for a while. And
they really have.
And you hate seeing that. Because then you don't talk about them. You don't cover them. You just, it's more fun. I mean, as Tampa Bay sports fans, if you've known this for the last 5-6 years, like, all our teams do is win.
No matter what.
Yeah, I mean, what, 4 playoffs in a row for the Bucks.
That's right.
And the Lightning have been on an incredible 10-year run. And the Rays have, what, 5 or 6 playoffs in a row. And the Rowdies have made 4 or 5 playoffs in a row as well.
It's really true. They have world championships to show for it. I mean, the Rays don't, right?
But the Lightning have 2 in the last 4
Lightning
years.
Two,
and the Bucks have 1.
The Bucks have a couple. Mm-hmm.
And the Rays have been to a World Series. The Rowdies have been to their final a couple times.
That's right.
You know, and USF had been struggling. And now you're starting to see some positive momentum, and the programs, you know, seems to be moving in the right directions for both those sports.
Welcome back, USF. Back in the discussion. It's tremendous. All right. Hockey is back, right?
It's been a long 11 days.
It has been. It feels longer than that, seriously.
It almost feels like, do we need to have training camp again or something? Or
I don't know what they do. I mean, if you're not coochie, you haven't done a lot, right? Are you out there on rollerblades? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, so they're in New York tonight against the Rangers, tomorrow night against the Islanders, so back-to-back.
Those are good games. The Rangers especially. I'm really interested to see how that goes.
I mean, this is a tough road trip. Like I said, back-to-back Rangers and Islanders tonight, tomorrow. Now, the nice thing is you don't have to get on a plane.
That's true.
But then you got Columbus on Saturday, and then you're at Boston Tuesday. So,
oof, Boston too, huh?
Yep, so you got both division leaders in the Eastern Conference. Wow.
Well, if they come out of this, that'll be tremendous. You know, if you get get some points out of this road trip.
Well, you're just looking to, you know, hopefully they can keep that momentum of they won 8 of 9 going into the break.
Yeah, they were hot, red hot.
You know, now it looks like Eric Chernak and Mikhail Sergachev will be back tonight. Tanner Janot's not quite ready yet, but hopefully this road trip. And, you know, once you get Janot and Austin Watson back, looks like Hayden Fleury's activated too. May not skate tonight, but once you get Watson and Janot back, you've got a full healthy roster.
That's tremendous. That's what you want for the second half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got 32 games to go.
That's it. It's going to go quick. And you play about, what, 3 or 4 a week?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to go pretty fast now. And they all matter so much that you're going to run out of chances to, you know, to go past people. But, hey, man, they heard an interview the other day with Stamkos. I mean, they're very confident. They love the way they're playing right now. It's just and I'm sure they needed the rest. I mean, you think about this and you go, wow, this team's going to be rusty. But really, in reality, you need fresh legs. And that's how you get through the second half. And so, especially a guy like, you know, Stamkos, the only guy to go to the All-Star game was Cooch. He'll be okay.
Yep.
More than likely, so.
Yep. And now we're 1 week from pitchers and catchers reporting.
So, can't wait. Please. But then it's like, okay, cool, they're in spring training, and they don't play games for like a while. And then it's like, wait a minute, how long is spring training? And it feels like you're never going
to
get there.
Yeah, I was talking to my boys about this yesterday, actually. And about, you know, spring training is, you know, the pitchers catchers report next week, but the games don't start till the end of March.
That's right. What? Got another month to go.
And even my wife was like, why is that? And I'm like, well, you got pitchers arms, man. They don't just start from no pitches to 100. Like, you got to stretch those arms out where, you know, football, you've got about, you've got over a month in football too. It's a long training camp.
It is. I mean, it's 3 games, but it's more like 5
Hockey's
weeks.
Incredible because you start, you know, you open camp, and within a week, you're already playing games, and then like...
That's beautiful.
Like 2.5 weeks in, you're on the regular season. Like, it's
beautiful.
Like, they just shake go.
Shake my hand, I'm loose. Let's go. I stretched. Come on. That's tremendous. Lightning's still in the middle of it, man. They really are.
No, they're in a really good position right now. The teams around them keep losing. Toronto... Florida lost, like, the teams around them keep losing.
That's huge.
So if the Lightning can just, they don't have to win 8 of 9.
Right.
You know, but win 6 of 9.
Yeah, yeah.
You
stay
know,
above water.
Keep doing that. They're in a good position right now. You look at the points percentage, you look at the points. They don't have, there's not as many games in hand by the other teams on them now.
Right.
Those other teams, as they played those games, have lost a lot of them, so.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning are in a good position. They just need to, you know, okay, they got a 4-game road trip. What's the old say? You want 5 points on this 4-game road trip?
Yeah, point. Yep.
More so win two, lose one in overtime, you can lose another one. So,
right.
You know, you don't have to, you don't need to take 8 out of 8 points. Oh, it'd be nice, but.
Yeah. Well, the key is that, you know, you want to be as healthy as possible, and then they're starting to get that way. So, and I think Vasi, you know, the last month really picked it up, got comfortable, is playing great. Probably could have used the rest as well.
I think, and I may have the numbers. I'm close, because Dave Mishkin's talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 18 games, they've given up more than 3 goals only 3 times.
Wow!
Now there's that's a fourth, tremendous. But it was the fourth goal was an empty netter in the other time. So
that's tremendous. But yeah,
3 goals with the goalie in net.
Wow!
You know, where early in the season that was not the case.
Right.
So
right.
Out of 18 games, only 3. That they've given up more than 3 goals when the goalie was in the net.
So, yeah.
You know,
so you're not turning it over.
That's how you win hockey games. Like, mm-hmm. You'd still like to even be better. You'd like to make it 2 or less.
Right.
But, you know, you've got enough offense on this Lightning team where if you can keep doing that, you'll be in good mm-hmm. position. And I think it's really coincided with Vasi getting back to form.
Yeah, and I think every day he feels better, and you can see the difference in his play just in the last month, maybe less, but he certainly, you know, whatever, coming back after that much time off can't be easy, no matter what the doctors tell you. So it's going to be a fun second half for sure. Okay, so let's see. You guys can still get mailbag questions in if you want to. We had some. We didn't get to any tonight, but we can certainly do that before the week is out if you want to send them in. You can do so on Twitter at SportsDayTB. You can reach me on Twitter at NFLStroud. My email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. Lightning on the road tonight.
It's the Rangers. It's a TNT game, too, so if national.
Yeah.
TNT tonight, ESPN tomorrow, so an 8 o'clock start tomorrow.
Who would the announcer for that be? Who's it be? Like, it wouldn't be.
I'm guessing Kenny Albert. I mean, he's a Rangers guy,
so why not put him on TNT,
and
right?
He's their main TNT guy, so it'd be easy for him. No travel, all that stuff. So I haven't seen who the announcer is, but I'm assuming.
He's great on hockey. I don't watch the games to listen to the announcers, mm-hmm. per se, but, man, if there's a good one, I will. Mm-hmm. He's great on hockey.
You know, he's really good on radio hockey, too.
Yeah. Oh, he does radio, too? Okay. Yeah,
he's the Rangers radio guy.
Oh, I got it. Oh, okay.
But then
the
he
TV
travels guy. A lot, so the, if they have guys fill in
yeah,
for him. But
yeah.
He's really good on radio.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun to hear him. That'll be a spirited reunion for those two teams, no doubt about that. Okay. So we'll be back to talk about it. Anything else that goes on with the Bucks and their coaching staff, keep it right here. Go to TampaBay.com, the Tampa Bay Times. And, of course, always, always listen to us. We appreciate each and every one of you. For Steve Burstyn, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.